إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, this one of the forgotten sunan of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the sunnah of making the takbir of Dhul Hijjah aloud. Now normally you will see that in the Ayyamu Tashriq we do it after the Eid, the 3 days we do it. But it was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do it in all the 10 days before Eid also. So this is narrated from the practice of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, about whom Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that I have never seen any of the Sahaba follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as closely as Abdullah ibn Umar. And it was his practice that as soon as the first of Dhul Hijjah, as soon as the moon was sighted, he would recite the takbir aloud and he would go into the marketplace and people would follow him and they would recite the takbir and they would raise their voice with the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us do that inshallah and continue to do that, not only after the salah, after salah also, but even otherwise. When you are going somewhere, wherever, you don't have to shout, but recite the takbir. And the takbir is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Now when we do this and we recite it also, let us try to remember the meaning of it and let us try to allow the power of this takbir to enter our heart and enter our lives. We are saying Allahu Akbar, and you are saying it 3 times, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What does it mean? We know what it means. The issue is to see, let it enter into our hearts. And if Allahu Akbar enters into our hearts, what must be the state of our heart? It will be a heart which fears nothing except Allah. Because if Allahu Akbar is in the heart, then that is a heart that fears nothing, no anxiety, no stress, no worry, no nothing. Because Allahu Akbar. True belief in Allahu Akbar is to free yourself from every form of worry, every form of stress, every form of fear whatsoever. Because all the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the makhluk. One of the teaching stories that I remember hearing from somebody, he said that there were two people who were traveling and they were going through a forest. And it was time for salah, so they decided to stand in salah. And as soon as they said Allahu Akbar, one of them was leading, the other one was standing beside him. As soon as he said Allahu Akbar, and he started the salah, they saw a tiger come into the road and was coming towards them. So the man who was following the imam, he broke his salah, and there was a tree there, so he climbed up to the top of the tree. But he saw that the imam continued to stand there and he continued his salah, and this tiger came right up to the man, walked around the man and walked away. So when the tiger had gone, danger had passed, and of course this man's salah also was finished by then, this other guy came down and he said to him, how could you just stand there? I mean, why was I mean, it is also jais when you see something dangerous like that. There's nothing wrong in breaking your salah and So, why did you do that? The man said, I also saw the tiger, but then I remembered that I just said Allahu Akbar. Takbir al-Tahrima. He said, I just said Allahu Akbar. Then how can I run from the tiger? Because this is makhluk. This is makhluk. Maybe a tiger, so what? So what? He said, I just said Allahu Akbar. And so I remind myself and you that the reality of Islam is beyond the rules. It is not against the rules. Please understand this. This is one of the biggest confusions. When we say beyond the rules, people think that therefore to disobey the rule is okay. That's absolutely oxymoronic. It is very stupid. How can somebody who is trying to reach and get close to Allah break a rule of Allah. That's ridiculous. Beyond the rule means you do the rule completely, but you don't stop with the rule. Your love of Allah takes you further. The rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to pray 5 times a day. That is the hadd. This is the boundary. But the one who loves Allah prays more than 5 times a day. He also prays tahajjud, he will pray ishraq, he will pray, you know, different salawat, and then maybe he will pray some more nawafil, because the way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through kasratu sujood, to make more and more sajda. So if somebody is praying tahajjud and so on, does it mean that therefore he need not pray Salatul Fajr? It makes no sense. Salatul Fajr is the hadd. If you don't play Salatul Fajr, then one has to question your iman itself. And say somebody deliberately leaves the Fard Salah. What is the hukum for that? So therefore, beyond the rule means to complete the rule, whatever it is. Whether I am just giving the example of Salah, because this was also the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He always gave the examples of Salah, because that was the most important thing. And obviously it meant that if the example applied to Salah, it applies to everything else in life also. So ihtiyat, taqwa, is to leave the doubtful. To leave the haram is hadd. If you are doing haram also, then what is the dalil for this? I mean, that is completely ridiculous. But the one who is muttaqi, not only will he not do haram, but he will also not do something which is doubtful. So the takbir of Allahu Akbar must free our heart from all fear. Second thing, the takbir of Allahu Akbar is, it brings us on to the obedience of Allah. And that's the reason why I mentioned this. Because if Allah is Akbar, then all the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to be Akbar. Everything that Allah likes has to be Akbar. Somebody who believes in Allahu Akbar will not even say, this particular thing which Allah likes, does he like it more or less? This thing which Allah prohibited, is it a small thing or a big thing? This disobedience of Allah, this sin, is it a saghira or a kabira? These kinds of questions, whereas the question is not haram, and if somebody is asking the question purely for academic reasons to understand the hudud on something or the punishment of something or the reward of something, it is okay. One can't say this is wrong. But if somebody is asking this question with the intention that he will do the minimum, then definitely that person must question his iman and must question his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody is asking, this particular thing, is it mustahab or is it fard? Then if he is asking it purely to understand the position in the sharia for this particular thing, that is fine. But if somebody says, that's okay, we can leave it, it's only mustahab. It's a very big difference between this question and that question. The second question, if somebody says, this is only sunnah, this is only mustahab, then he is deriding and he is reducing the importance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in itself is a major sin. That in itself is a major sin. So it's not a question of, you know, what sunnah you left. To take a sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to speak about it or to consider it to be unimportant itself is a major sin. So Allahu Akbar frees our heart from all stress and fear and brings us on to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And then the next kalima in the takbir is La ilaha illallah, which reminds us and brings us on to the tawheed, which is the ruh, which is the soul, which is the foundation, which is the root of this deen of ours. Anyone who tampers with that tawheed, anyone who adulterates the tawheed with any form of shirk, obviously this is cutting at the root of our iman. La ilaha illallah. And then we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in terms of His power. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alhamd. And what is alhamd? Alhamd is the shukr of Allah and it is the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise and all shukr. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So it starts with the obedience and greatness and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reminds us that there is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of worship and who is worthy of asking for help. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And it ends with acknowledging and accepting and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for all that He has given us. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahil hamd. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.